If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight, chill show tonight. Chill show, I don't have much to say, but we'll be sharing my thoughts on this Dave Smith and Nick Fuentes interview. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? We are streaming on YouTube and X at the same time. This morning, I'm currently in the reviewing of White People Food, fully written up to 310 pages. I've reviewed down to page 80. So I am almost a third of the way through my review. I think that the review will take about 1 to 2 weeks. And then last minute additions that I think of, and then we should get a print. I should get my first printed version of the book. This should come in June into my hands, maybe end of June. If I get the print end of June, then last corrections, visual adjustments to the printing quality and stuff. I can work on this in July. Last minute corrections, whatever. And I think we should set up a pre-order option, perhaps in August, so that I can have my target date around September or October. You can all get the book, or you can get it in advance for the Christmas that comes. I think we are on schedule. Absolutely fantastic book. This morning I was working on Ex Benedict, and I was reminded of the Another Broken Egg Cafe, a restaurant chain mostly in the south of the U.S., but I think everywhere in the U.S. And they have these Egg Benedicts, bro, that are absolutely out of this world. Eggs Benedict, but with a crab cake. You can have an extra crab cake under the egg. And this threw me into a series of innovation, I think. Because right now I have just the Eggs Benedict page in the book. Maybe I'll have a full tactical guide on everything you can do with an Eggs Benedict. I'll tell you what, the minute you get White People Food, you're wondering about these 300 pages and you don't know where to start. I will tell you the right way to start is get to the Eggs Benedict recipe and just learn to do a genuine Hollandaise sauce, because this is so easy. It's just technical and it's logistics. But really, a Hollandaise sauce is only butter and egg yolks. It's just the order in which you treat these elements that will lead to this absolute smoothie. Smooth texture, silky, extremely buttery taste. And it's so easy to do. Once you master it, it's like robotic. You can do that in 5 minutes. But it's just annoying because it takes a lot of pans. You need a pan that holds water. You need another pan to heat the egg yolk in the water gently. Now, once the egg yolk is mixed with lemon juice, heated a little bit but not cooked, now you introduce melted butter from another pan. And now you whisk. And you whisk the melted butter progressively into the Hollandaise with an emulsion technique. Which is just, emulsion is just fat that is put into a state of airiness. That is what emulsion is. So it's fat that was beaten into a more hairy structure. And it is helped by the egg yolk in the case of the Hollandaise, though in other sauces you can also emulsify fat through other techniques. I have basically all of the techniques in white people food. So you'll be able to do a velouté, a hollandaise, a mayonnaise. You'll be able to do a beurre blanc. You'll learn all of the techniques to make any sauce, really, brown or white. And in fact, once you have learned these elementary basics, then I have derivative sauces where you can have maybe 100 or 150 different ways where these sauces can lead through different methods or strategies or spices that complete the flavor profile of the sauce. So I think it will be a good book for ladies. Ladies who have a husband, I believe you should buy White People Food and you should prepare, at the very least, Eggs Benedict. This can be prepared very quick in the morning, and it makes all the difference between just a fried eggs or a delicious Eggs Benedict. And if you've already made the crab cakes, well, on top of it, you can add the crab cakes, which is not in my current recipe, but that's an idea from another Broken Egg Cafe. I remember these moments, just eating this very high luxury breakfast. And it cost a little more, of course, but not so much more. And they also have the Blackstone version, which is, I think, with a piece of ham, paprika on the Eggs Benedict. Absolutely delicious. This will be one of the recipes just to try, because there's nothing special about it. Of course, Eggs Benedict, everyone knows how to make an Eggs Benedict in the professional restaurant industry. But most people at home, they don't do it. They just don't do it because it's just the complication. They don't know exactly all the steps. Well, you're going to have just a single line of photos that tell you this is how you make Eggs Benedict. Very happy with the current result of White People Food. And on the food news also, we have Nick Fuentes publishing on Telegram. Wow, this pizza looks good, bro. I know that this is good just looking at it. Cheese melted straight on the bread, it would seem. And then extra tomato sauce added as dollops on top of the cheese. That is a brilliant technique. It's delicious. It leads to an irregularity in your experience of each slice. The big problem of the sauce under the cheese is that it creates a lot of dynamics that are hard to control, like wetness of the dough, wetness of the cheese, lack of crunchiness in the cheese. Whereas tomato sauce added on top in small dollops, it's absolutely delicious, because now you can enjoy, when you arrive at this part of the pizza, you're like, I'm in sauce territory. And then you can enjoy the cheese part being pure cheese and bread on the sides, little lines of fresh basil coming to augment the flavor profile of the pizza, excellent thin bread. Holy shit, does that look good. A pizza that was bought by Nick Fuentes. I don't know the restaurant, but he's sharing this on his Telegram. Jay-Z Bay Masso says, Jeff, a normal breakfast in a restaurant costs $45 in Quebec. Not cheap anymore. I know. But I mean, those are very good meals. I mean, the Quebec brunch culture, and it's featured a lot in my book. You have the complete guide to reproduce all of this. My book will give you the ensemble of breakfast sandwiches you can make, the ensemble of breakfast platters you can make, and the ensemble of the techniques of sauces that are involved in producing Eggs Benedict or anything else. And on top of it, in case you want the trois petits cochons or the galette saucisse, as it is called in France, you also have this. My book is pretty breakfast heavy, I'll tell you what, but breakfast is very good. And it's amazing how breakfast can be augmented without pricey items. The difference between a good Eggs Benedict and a low-level fried egg with potatoes that you can get at diner is not much. Both have butter, both have eggs, and both have either bread or potatoes. And it's all about the technique. It's not going to cost you anything more if you do Eggs Benedict at home versus a simple fried egg breakfast. It's the same price. The material on the plate is the same. But it's about the technique. And so I think that there's a big gain to have in terms of improving your personal food life, in terms of getting your wife to prepare you beautiful breakfast. I think white people food will be unbeatable. I'm revealing you all of the secrets that they don't want you to know. But yeah, I mean, it has to cost $45. You know what? You know why? Because they spend it's so much time and logistics. You're paying for the employees, by the way. If you go to Cora Breakfast, they do excellent breakfast. But you have to have the employee that makes the Hollandaise sauce fresh. You have to have the employee that carves all of the cantaloupe and whatever, all of these fruits that they do with special spirals and stuff. This is art, and you're really paying for art. You're not paying that much for the material, because let me tell you, two sausage, bacon, beans, if you were to do this at home, it won't cost you much. Duke Napalm says, looking sharp, JF, thank you. I'm still losing weight. I'm losing 1 pound a day right now, approximately. Losing 1 pound a day. My days right now, and this is why, I'm sorry, my shows may become uninteresting for the next few weeks. I'm sorry, my brain is not powered by calories. But right now, I spend my days just saying, don't eat, don't eat, don't eat. And then I do some white people food correction, and then I'm like, don't eat. Don't eat. So I'm spending fasting days right now. I am eating sometimes once per 48 hours, sometimes once per 24 hours. And it is working. It is working. I'm seeing it on the balance. I'm ticking down 1 pound a day. But the technique for this is so extreme. I literally do not eat. All I do is drink Gatorade Zero, bro. And yet I feel healthy. You know, I don't feel like I'm going to lose consciousness or anything like this. But it is hard on the will because holy shit. Well, you know, when I do my research of the day and I see Nick Fuentes. Why? Why does the world have to be so unjust that Nick is eating these two pizza slices? Oh my God, why? Like, do you know how long it's been since I could eat a pizza? I've been losing 70 pounds in the last 6-7 months. Why? Why can't I eat? Insonine says, JF anorexia. Okay. Ty Rogerson says, yeah, after 5 days of that, the urge to gorge is extreme. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But, you know, the will is strong. I am a stubborn man and I have a powerful brain. So I'm sorry, guys, if my shows become less interesting, but I'm on my last stretch. I think I have about 20 pounds I'd like to lose still. And it's like, yeah, you can just decide not to eat. You know, I remember because I've known people in my family who were dying of various ailments. And I remember at the last moment of their life, like the last week or month, they were losing massive amounts of weight. And I was like, why are they losing massive amounts of weight? And it's like they're dying, but the body doesn't know that. And the reality is that many of them were on various medications, like end-of-life type of medication, cancer medication. And ultimately is that they were not eating. Like when you're in these very hard cancer drugs, is you don't want to eat. You're not feeling life anymore. You're dying from the inside. And this is what motivates me partly. I'm like, hey, if it's possible to have just a pill to wreck you so hard that you don't want to eat anymore, then it's possible to do it with the power of the mind. You can just decide no breakfast, no dinner, no supper today, nothing. And you can just say, I'm not eating one more salad until I see 3 pounds off, 4 pounds off. And it's like entropy at some point, you can surf on entropy. You can decide, well, my body is not sustainable as long as I don't eat. And therefore, it's leaking information, leaking entropy into the world. So you can win a fight against the universe in a way. You can say, all right, the universe will keep draining energy away from my body, and I will refuse to feed it back in. I will just radically refuse. And the same way I've seen these people who were in the process of dying, they were not dead yet. They were still alive, despite the fact that they were losing 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 50 pounds, just out of not eating. JZB Masso says, that's the basis of GLP medications. Yes. And, you know, I'm thinking I'm losing so much weight. I could do full body shots at this point. I might very well set, once white people food is out, I might very well start doing food videos. Because now I can do full body shots. I'm sexy. The woman will like me. So it will be possible perhaps to set up the studio in a farm where I can do cooking. That would be fun. That would be very fun. Sadie Edward says, remember Church of Entropy? That's funny because I've actually seen her in a list on Twitter, maybe on my feed recently. And I was like, oh, what was this woman about? And then I clicked on her profile yesterday and, oh yeah, so Church of Entropy is, she came on this show back in the public space days, making the argument that the moon has a special energy based on quantum physics and water resonance and whatever. I mean, she's totally out there. This is an example that, you know, women shouldn't think too much. I remember her for this. She was saying a bunch of rational and true thing, but then she was like, boom, crashing down. So the moon has special energy, JF. It's like, well, wait a minute. You've just said all sorts of scientific things that are fine. They are absolutely correct. And then the moon has special energy because the water molecule... Oh, bro, dangerous, dangerous. There are all sorts of women out there just lost little creatures. It's sad in a way. It's so sad. No guide, no structure. They can never have it. They can only have it in marriage, really. A woman will fully maximize her accession to the truth by just saying, I trust my husband. It's as simple as this. And it's like demonstrated by history. No, you cannot. You cannot do it without a husband. Sadie Edward says she was nuttier than squirrel shit. Yes. Holy shit. Good memories. I mean, I love the cognitive diversity we've had on the public space. I love it. And, you know, Nick Fuentes, who I'm going to comment about today, was also a guest on the public space. Those were important internet days. They are getting forgotten more and more. But they were so important with what came after. They were so fundamental. People just don't realize. I'm not a man who works for recognition, so I don't care about this aspect. I do work for recognition of my theory, the revolutionary phenotype. I don't care particularly about recognition in the media domain, But like, let's be frank, guys, on the regular chat. And I know you guys are my fans, so it's a little biased, but TPS changed history. TPS changed the history of media. TPS has set the standard for what would come then. And it's a standard by which you can compare today to this and say, well, yeah, we're in slop world now, Ty Rogerson. And yes, you can call the public space pre-slop. It was pre-slop. But even when you set a standard, it's okay that things get dirtier and things get messier after. I'm not super proud about the state of the public space right now. But I'm proud that we set something. We said something in the past and we said, look, this is what discussions about the truth look like. And we may never get this again. It might have just been a window of possibility opened up by all sorts of internet circumstances and the fact that people didn't have enough cameras and live stream to feed the slop. The more things have become accessible on the internet, the more sloppy it got. But we set the standard. We set a historical, legendary moment. And that was great. Marby Dog says, modern women are angrier and more erratic because they rely on themselves and other women who are also unbalanced. That is so true. So true. All that a woman doesn't need to be beaten or corrected physically. She just needs a male that she will submit to and say, I trust you to be living a healthy life. There is so much unhealthiness in female life in the city. It's crazy. We are really causing the mental health issues of our time. We are causing it with unnatural environments, unnatural demands onto women. Misleading, anti-reproductive misleading. And I can see it. I can see it dating, you know. I can see it when these women are kind of interested in me, but also they wouldn't move out of their ways. They wouldn't drop everything behind. They wouldn't leave their jobs, their little crappy jobs. It's fascinating what they can be attached to. Their little crappy jobs, paying an apartment that they can't afford, that drives them into debt. It's like, what kind of hope do you have? And you're telling me that you're interested in me, but you want to stay in that world. You want me to move out of my situation to go join you and your cat in your fucking apartment in the most unhealthy cities, where I'll have to wonder if I can even survive the night, where I'll have to keep my children inside because they might be kidnapped or shot by a stray bullet. What's the point of this? I mean, what got women so addicted to the city? That's a big question. Rodilacid says, you could say even Emily Yukis was co-host a while and now she's gotten really popular with her animations. I don't know what's her current state of popularity, but back in the days, she was already doing animations. That was the big thing about her. I've honestly never watched this stuff. I don't know that I want to watch animation made by a woman. Honestly, I don't care. I don't care how based. I'm uninterested. Ty Rogerson says, in the dating world, they waste no time telling you about their jobs. They even manage to include it in their first message back. I've worked higher paying and more interesting jobs and don't say it. Oh, yeah. Bro, fucking woman and their professional life. It's so ridiculous. It's like, I could buy you out, bitch. Why don't you stop talking to me about your manager job at McDo and how you you're really needed there and how you've made great accomplishments there? how about I buy your silence out? How much money do I have to drop on your head for you to just shut the fuck up about this and consider it never happened? B-Watt says, woman picked berries in the past and weaved clothing that keeps them going insane from not fidgeting. Oh, God. All right, let's have a look at the Dave Smith, Nick Fuentes interview. So we won't be playing it because it's 3 hours long, but it was a very interesting interview. It's always interesting to see a good faith interaction with Nick Fuentes, and Dave Smith is kind of one of the only ones who could be argued to be kind of a mainstream personality, but also on the true good faith side of the interview world. And it's good to have someone who respects Nick Fuentes, because then we can get into the actual debate. And there were a couple of arrows sent by Dave Smith that were absolutely legitimate toward Nick Fuentes. So as far as the interview goes, there's a whole 1 hour, 30 minutes of it that talks about the Trump failure and Pat Buchanan. And this, I fully agree with this section. I think it was a very powerful commentary on just Trump has fooled everyone, and he has fooled America, and he did it openly. Like, it's not, he did it very openly. He just fucked America. And yeah, you know, comments like, I didn't think about the economy that much. Those will remain engraved in memories. But Trump has abandoned his base. He has used his base to elevate himself to power. But at the moment, he didn't need them anymore. As Dave Smith pointed out, MAGA is now Mark Levin. And this is one of the most ridiculous things. Nicholas Petris says, big time buffering, gotta keep moving forward though. All right, well, I'm sorry about this. It seems my internet connection is fully up, so it might be on the YouTube side. But I'm not seeing any signs that I'm getting disconnected, so it might be that YouTube is having problems. We'll keep going. So the fact that Trump has converted totally toward Mark Levin is MAGA is absolutely ridiculous, and everyone can see it. And it was great to just see two different personalities, Dave Smith being less socially conservative, more libertarian, whereas Nick Fuentes is less libertarian, perhaps a little more socially conservative. It's good to see that these two can agree on this, that Trump is a big failure, and that this is the thinking of the new generation. People will remember this forever, and it's important we mark this in history. And the strategic considerations around Pat Buchanan are excellent. You know, did Pat Buchanan kneel too much to the Republican Party? And in a way, is our current situation due to the true conservatives of these generations in the 80s, 90s, failing to hold the Republican Party to a standard? That's very important. It's very important in light of the decisions we have to make today, because it's basically what the youth versus the boomers are confronted with. Do we hold the Republican Party to any standard? Or do we just blindly root for it forever? Not everyone has the right answers to this question. Marby Dog says, Pat Buchanan is very important, American conservative. I read several of his books. His thoughts on World War II and Western civilizations are very important. All right, guys, I know we are buffering. I hope that it will correct itself. But it seems to be a problem that I cannot control on my side, because it's on YouTube side. My connection to YouTube is stellar. If you are experiencing too much buffering on YouTube, transfer to X. I'm currently streaming lives on X. So join us on X to get the the stream if that doesn't work here. And you can stay here for the chat if you'd like. Yeah, so this part of the interview, I don't have much objections. However, the high point of this interview to me was when they started talking about Venezuela. And it's very interesting because it's one of the points where Nick has drifted. And Nick has never been defining himself as anti-war. However, Nick's opposition to Israeli interests has always put him in the anti-war camp by default. And a bunch of alliances and affinities have been developing around this. So that's also why Nick can be going on a rather leftist or kind of leftist or centrist podcast, or even interacting with people like Sneeko on the basis of their Muslimhood. All of this is made possible because there is a tacit, temporary alliance between anti-war leftist forces and anti-Israel people. But that is shaky. It's shaky for two reasons. It's shaky because down the line, the leftists that are anti-war, they will follow you on opposing to war only. But they won't follow you when it goes to fixing America from a socially conservative perspective and an economically conservative perspective. So it's like they're the anti-war leftists, they're as dangerous to society as the neocons. And it's possible that they're even more dangerous because the neocons, all they can do really is bring people into a war. It's unproductive, we lose money, we serve other foreign interests. But the population kind of survives and continues reproducing. The leftists who are strongly objected to social conservatism, they are destroying the country from the inside. And so it's very dangerous to be seeing the alliance between these factions that are deeply opposed on right-wing left versus left issues, ally for the purpose of an anti-Israel stance. Because then once you start being anti-Israel and even perhaps winning an election one day on that basis, you will have introduced a bunch of leftists in government who will push the social welfare state and who will continue the destruction of the family, the destruction of the economy, and it will completely turn this nation into what it's basically already become, but complete that reversal into an economy that is fully controlled by the state, where there is no place for meritocracy. So that alliance must be watched closely. It's fun to hang out with Sneeko. It's fun to go on podcasts that will attract leftist viewers. But down the line, let's not forget that leftists are destroying civilization and that the fix to civilization, yes, is to claim sovereignty from Israel, but it's also to restore the state of meritocracy and family. That I don't see a solution short term, but we have to be aware of this. Now, Dave Smith has been successfully pushing Nick on this drifting, because suppose that Nick was preparing to be pro-war long-term. Suppose that Nick in 10 years from now becomes a pro-war voice. That would be the first drift that we could have observed. Somehow we are buffering on X2. Well, I don't know what to say then. I'm seeing connection healthy. Your stream quality is good. Oh, we have dropped frames. Why do we have this? Well, sorry, guys, but I'm going to have to continue streaming and sending the video fully recorded so that people can experience the stream offline. I don't know why we would have this dropped frames. I'm just, my computer is healthy. The connection is healthy. Sorry, guys. You're going to have to watch us on offline. Yes, everyone is experiencing buffering. I don't know what caused it. What can cause a drop frame? If it's not the internet connection. You're running two streams simultaneously on two different platforms and probably don't have enough bandwidth. But I do this all the time. I do this all the time. We always stream on X since the last few weeks. And it's not been a problem. Well, anyways, we're going to have to investigate this. I will continue my commentary and I'll try to fix this for tomorrow's stream. So Venezuela, Dave Smith comes at Nick Fuentes and says, well, there you seem to have drifted. You seem to morally, you are backing the very same arguments by which Israel can start anywhere in the future. And that is an important critique, which is, okay, now you're making arguments about the American Empire, defense of our interest, Monroe Doctrine. You know that these arguments have all been previously used for Israeli wars, and that they will in the future too. So that's a problem. The fact that Nick Fuentes, even if he does it unknowingly, is opening the path to exploitation that later down the line can easily be used for Israeli interest, even if you don't want to acknowledge the potentiality that Venezuela actually was an Israeli interest war. And there are arguments that can be made in line with this. You can say, well, it's one of the South American nations that had an alignment with Russia, Iran. It's one of the South American nations that had denounced Israel. So an argument can be made that already in the case of Venezuela, Nick is already showing a weakness in terms of being exploitable by Israeli interest. Well, Sadi Edward says, just stream on one platform to reduce bandwidth. That's easily said. But once I started the stream, if I cut the stream, then you're going to lose me on all platforms and I'm going to have to restart another video. Which, since I've already started the commentary, I don't want to do. So I'm going to say, let's try to record the video and come and watch me offline. I'm sorry. So that was one of the high points of the interview. Then there was a point that was weak, which was about Chud the Builder. I believe that both Nick Fuentes and Dave Smith have failed to understand the purpose of Chud the Builder. So they say, oh, well, it's not good to have someone out there antagonizing people. It's not good for what? It's not good for him. Okay, Nick Fuentes always goes back to this. It's not good for him. He's destroying his life. But what you have to understand is Chud the Builder probably wasn't destroying his life. He probably considered that his life was already destroyed. And he had decided to use this destroyed life to make a point about free speech. And as was pointed out very intelligently by I Hypocrite, where is the line? If you cannot stand by Chud the Builder's right to speech in this art form that he was doing, where is the line? Because then the next step is someone like Nick Fuentes gets harassed or assassinated. And then a lot of people, a lot of the leftists out there are going to say, well, he deserved it. He provoked people. In fact, people go down to saying that about Charlie Kirk. Even Charlie Kirk doesn't get the grant of the leftist. There are some people who say, well, he was looking for trouble. Well, in a way, Charlie Kirk was looking for trouble in the same way that Chad the Builder was looking for trouble. And in a way, Nick Fuentes is looking for... We are all looking for trouble in the very same way that these people, that Chad the Builder is accused of looking for trouble. The point is, at which point are you going to say that does not deserve a physical altercation? And the way Chad the Builder was working was always in in ensuring that he was not the initiator of violence. So I would be very surprised that in this particular case he was, because all of the videos we have of him, he knows the steps of escalation. He knows that when I pull my pepper spray, it's only in response to a physical altercation. A physical altercation that was initiated by the other guy. So I think he did it very cleanly, his audit, his demonstration. And I think this was not properly captured because both Nick Fuentes and Dave Smith, they both went for the, well, it's not good for him and it's not advancing the cause and it's not intelligent. Well, an audit doesn't have to be intelligent. An audit sometimes is the most stupid thing. But you want to know that you're in a society where the most stupid thing that's legal can still be done. And that's the audit. That's how we protect rights. I believe this is what Chad the Builder has done. In fact, we've seen a video that I've retweeted. Chad the Builder was exactly on that mindset. When he was discussing with a black guy, he was explaining, look, it is a violation of our liberties, the fact that we have to expect to be intimidated, that we have to expect our lives to be destroyed by this word. I think there is a massive problem with internet communications. I'm now seeing it dropped frames, 25%. So I'm going to have to close the show tonight. That was my two main points I wanted to share. We're not going to extend it too much because you guys are suffering from the buffering. I am so sorry. We will be, I'll be investigating what could have caused this. Maybe the internet connection, I don't know. But I do insist on being live and available for you guys live. So I'm not into the recording of offline shows. I really like interacting with the regular chat. And at this point, you guys are seeing me so delayed that it's impossible. So that's it for tonight, boys. Let's try again tomorrow and hope for a resolution. Much love. Bye-bye.